This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
The business of mission. The business of mission. I suppose that as you look at the title, you could think of a lot of different things that could be addressed this morning. However, from a perspective of a for-profit business person, I was asked to give some insights into this subject, and so I will endeavor to do that. There's a number of things that the committee would have liked to see, how to integrate business and mission, how can these two entities work together. The one that I loved is this one, where it says, how can the role of business go beyond reaping filthy mammon and put it into the pockets of sacred missions? The second best was, business isn't necessary evil. That was shocking to me. I liked it. How can business and missions work collectively in God's kingdom? On a different note, it was noted that businesses have a bottom line to meet, and if a business does not meet its bottom line, they will cease to exist because they will go bankrupt. They'll be out of business. So nonprofits, missions don't have a bottom line as such. And so what's up with that? Tough, I'd say. Three things I'd like to share with you this morning. First is the synergy. Synergy. Secondly is strategy. And thirdly is the bottom line. I'd like to look at these three things. Synergy of business and mission. Where does the synergy lie? Too often we separate business and mission. Some have even said that if you look at the word business, that sin is in the middle of business. I wonder sometimes if we, as Anabaptist people, have bought into the concept that business and especially corporations are evil. I'm not here to defend the actions of some, but are they evil? Corporations and businesses are not evil. Did you know people are? People are evil. Yes, some people running corporations and businesses, large and small, are very evil and very sinful. And may I add that all mankind is fallen, and we need a Savior, and we all need redemption, including businessmen. It's through God's grace that we are welcomed then into the kingdom and the family of God. My question comes, though, have we as churches failed our businesses and businessmen within our congregations? I'm grateful for the effort that is being put forth to help businesses and businessmen understand the importance of doing business based on biblical principles. Anabaptist Financial, Anabaptist Foundation, appreciate it. They didn't ask me to do that commercial, but I appreciate that emphasis of doing this. It's important that there is synergy between business and mission. In the past, some have only barely tolerated business of success. In fact, many, we hear it from the pulpits, have equated business with materialism. I would like to suggest this morning that consumerism has more to do with materialism than does earnings and business. Let me say that again. I would suggest this morning that consumerism has more to do with materialism than does earnings and business. Certainly, it's easy to get caught up in the prosperity of our communities and in business. And I understand the concept of stewardship, of being stewards, to possess carefully, that God has entrusted everything to us. He teaches us to tithe and to give generously. And probably the reason for teaching us to tithe and to give is so that we are reminded of the fact that it's not ours, but we're merely stewards of what we have. In fact, the cattle on the thousand hills are His, He says. Some have been, however, so possessed and controlled by business that they needed deliverance. And they sold their business and they went into full-time ministry. They've been placed on a pedestal and praised for their sacrifice. However, often they come back to business and ask for the support in order to do their ministry. Without business, many of your organizations wouldn't be here today. I conclude that business and ministry need to have synergy in order to promote the kingdom of God. The support of ministry or mission by business is great, is wonderful. Mission has a need. Business meets that need. It's the most common synergy that we can have between business and mission is for the ministry, when they have a need, come to business, yeah, and ask for funding, and ask for support, and ask for help, and then business responding to that and helping them. It's a wonderful synergy, and I say it's a good one. For business to meet the needs of ministry. I see other areas of synergies. I see the area of volunteerism for missions as businessmen and business people and businesses. Adopt projects that can be done, sending volunteers from your company to help in construction projects and relief efforts and disaster cleanups and all of those things. You know what? As a company, we've discovered the beauty and the blessing of doing this. Now, we employ many people and we don't employ all Christian people. And the beauty that I have seen from doing this is that even some non-believers respond to the physical needs of others and are able for the first time to open their eyes of the blessing of giving and sharing. And so when you're ministering to the needs of others with volunteerism, you're not only meeting the needs of the person that is being helped, but you're meeting the needs of the person that is volunteering. A beautiful synergy. But the third synergy that I believe that is so important is not the business of ministry or the business of mission, but business as mission. Business as ministry. The business, I always ask the question when someone says that person sold everything that he had and he went into full-time ministry, and I say, what was he doing before? You get that? Did you know that all of us are called? We're called, and I believe that many of you are called into ministry and perhaps, quote, full-time ministry, but I believe that there's others who are called into full-time occupations and jobs to support and to help and to be a ministry in that business. And we should be that without being ashamed. Business as ministry. Yeah, you could reverse that, I suppose. Every Christian business person should see beyond the economic reasons for business to the spiritual reason for business. We need to recognize the large sphere of influence that we have as business people. We have our employees and their families. We have vendors that we deal with on a daily basis. We have customers that we deal with on a daily basis. We have the community that we're in, and we can be a wonderful lighthouse and a wonderful representative of Jesus Christ as we operate our businesses. That should be the bottom line of what we're doing. I look at the state of our country and the world, and I see the need for us to use all means at our disposal to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Do you know what I believe? That it's not going to happen in the pew. I believe the next greatest era of missions and ministry is through the workplace. Thank you. The workplace. The marketplace. Did you know that all of you, all of us together are involved in the marketplace? We either buy or we sell something. We stop at the filling station. We go in and we buy groceries. We buy household items. We buy all kinds of things. We're involved in the marketplace. Now, when Jesus went to get his disciples, you know where he went? He went to the synagogue. No, he didn't. He went to the marketplace. He went to the marketplace. He went down where the fishermen were fishing. They weren't pleasure fishing. They were business fishing. And yes, they left their businesses and went into full-time ministry. Paul was a businessman minister. He worked in the marketplace. I've wondered what kind of tents Paul made. Do you think for a moment that they were second-class tents? Oh, you know what? I bought a tent from this guy over here. His name was Paul. And the thing leaks. It's a horrible tent. I believe that he made tents that people left from that place after they bought their tents and they said, you know what, there was an honest fella, there was an honest man, he gave me the value for what I paid for that tent, and it is a very good serviceable tent and it does the job. And he was a witness that way. He perhaps created an opening for them to come back and ask about his beliefs, because he probably mentioned his belief to them as he was sharing with them in the marketplace. He lived and he spoke the message. I had a friend who just called me the other day. Not from Ohio, where I'm from. But he's a Christian businessman. And he said, Bill, I called you because I have a couple questions I'd like for you to answer. And I know that you're a bit older than I am. And so I thought maybe you would have a couple ideas. And sometimes I do, and sometimes they're bad. Hopefully, sometimes they're okay. But in our process of talking about his dilemma that he was in, he said like this, you know what? You know, I get all excited about this idea of Christians as business being a mission. He said, in fact, yesterday I had the privilege of leading someone to Christ in my business. Yeah, that's what it's all about. It works the world over. Businesses and professions are the only means of entering into some countries. And so going in as businessmen or starting restaurants, bakeries, agricultural services, guest houses, professionals as teachers and professors and doctors and healthcare workers and childcare workers. The list goes on. Business. Meeting the needs of missions, the needs of people. All of us have needs in four areas: physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. Many people may not know that they have a spiritual need. They do know that they need a job. They do know that they need a livelihood. They do know that they need to support themselves and their families. They do know when they're hungry. They do know when they're sick. They do know when they need help in studying, and they do know when they need a place to sleep. They do know all those things. But they may never know that they have a spiritual need until we help them with the other needs that they have, the needs that they know. The type of mission is meeting the need of one level to bring glory to God. creating the path to meet the spiritual needs of all men. That's what business should be doing. We see it happening all over the world. I have a business acquaintance on the West Coast who has a factory in China. He does a number of things. He gives employment to the Chinese. He's meeting their financial needs. He's creating an opportunity to meet their spiritual needs. And a couple years ago, he told us how that they had 40 baptisms. Where? In the church? Sorry. In their plant. Their factory. It became part of the Church of Christ. I don't know these people. I just know the owners. But meeting the needs through business. Nations are closed, but everyone has marketplace needs, and meeting those needs provides a way of reaching a person's heart. Secondly, so there are synergies. Secondly, there's a strategy. Let me very quickly mention to you that I believe that every business, every mission, every organization needs strategy. We need to clearly spell out the whys, the whats, and the hows. I believe that every organization needs to know 4 strategic aspects of their organization, what they're working for. 1, the purpose of their organization. 2, the vision that their organization have. 3, the mission that their organization wants to do. And 4, the values that they stand for. Let's look at those very, very quickly. Your purpose. Let me ask you this morning, what is your purpose as a mission? Do you know if you were to ask the people that are working for your organization, would they know what your purpose is? The purpose defines why your organization exists. Why does it exist? That's the purpose. I would suggest that the ultimate for your organization, the ultimate purpose for the organization is in one word. The same reason you're here. The same reason you have been placed on earth. And that purpose is to glorify God. That's the long and the short of it. You probably want to add words to that as you define the purpose of your organization. If your organization, or if I personally am not bringing glory to God, then I'm outside of God's will. But when I bring glory to God, I can be confident that we are then in God's will. Secondly, so I believe the purpose is all about bringing glory to God. Secondly, the vision. What the vision defines what your organization wants to be. Who are you? Who do you want to become? Is your organization a church planting in your field? Is your organization strengthening existing churches? Is your organization a marketplace enterprise, humanitarian aid organization? Is it microfinance and loan organization? Perhaps it's child service organization and so forth. But in the vision, we need to define who we want to be. As a business and as an organization, we need to know who we are. Thirdly, is the mission. And the mission, and many of you know this, probably all of you do, but the mission is how your organization is going to accomplish its vision and purpose. How's it going to do that? What this kind of becomes the engine. How are you going to do your vision to fulfill your purpose? How are you going to do that? It's the what and the how of the service that we're going to provide to those that we're in contact with. For a business, it's their customer. Now, if you're a mission organization, you say, I don't have a customer, but let me tell you, you do. We all have customers. How do you provide for those customers? How do you provide for them? Let me suggest that in order to provide for the needs that you're wanting to fulfill is that you need to be relevant. We need relevance. If you start a business that has no relevance, you will not succeed. If you're in missions that is not relevant, it will not succeed. We need to have relevance. So how do we, the key word is serve. How do we serve our customer to bring relevance and to fulfill his needs so that it fulfills the vision and the mission of the organization? It's through service. The organization's mission must be about serving. Mission is all about how we will serve Jesus Christ by serving our fellow men. And fourthly is the values. And those are the driving principles. The values. What are the values? If you were to ask, if you were to take a survey of your organization and say, what is our purpose? It would be interesting for you to do that and ask your anybody in your organization, what is the purpose of your organization? If you were to ask them, what is the vision of our organization? What would they say? If you were to ask them, what is your mission of your organization? What would they say? But the values are also very, very important, and that's the driving principles behind your organization. They must be based on truth. These values must be based on truth, and the reason I say that is because, well, number one, it's true, and number two is that it's very important, and we are gathered here this morning, and we have multicultural and countries represented here doing work, okay? But the beauty of truth, the beauty of these values that are based on truth is that truth remains truth across all time. It doesn't matter the past 2,000 years ago and today and 2,000 years from now, would the earth still stand? Truth remains the same. It doesn't change. So that's why it's important. The second thing about truth is that it remains the same across culture. It doesn't matter if you're working here in Pennsylvania or if you're working in Ohio or if you're working in El Salvador or if you're working in Romania or in Thailand or wherever you may be, wherever the Lord has called you, truth is the same across culture. It doesn't change. And thirdly, truth is the same across context. So our values must be based on truth, because it doesn't matter the circumstances, the context, it remains the same. So you can apply it to any culture, you can apply it to any region, you can apply it to any time, and truth stays the same. However, where I'm going to get myself into trouble is my next statement, and that is the application can change. Let me define that in one word. Modesty. Modesty. There are various forms of modesty, but the principle and the principle of truth, and for instance, taking modesty as a truth, is the same, but the application may vary. Enough said. Thank you. Oh, I think maybe I'll finish. So I would suggest that if you have an organization today that doesn't have written purpose, vision, mission, value statements, that you think about writing one or make sure that everyone knows it, even if it's not written. Lastly, and third point, is the bottom line. The bottom line. We looked at synergy, strategy, briefly, we looked at it. Oh, by the way, let me just say this too. We talked about the relevance of a mission or organization has to be relevant. I would like to suggest this morning that a church has to be relevant. Am I wrong on that? Thank you, brother. Yeah, we have to be relevant. We have to be relevant. Okay. Let's look at the bottom line, last point. And I have a number of things to share with you. The bottom line. What is the bottom line? And excuse me if I bore some of you with this. But my topic, after all, was the business of mission. And they ask about the bottom line, and this is a tough one. What is the bottom line? What's the bottom line in business? Is it not the result that the business owner wants at the end of the day? I think we would all understand that the bottom line is the profit. Anybody here in business would agree with me? Bottom line is a profit. All right, a few reluctantly lift their hands. Hey, we're outnumbered, I know that, but the bottom line is the profit. So what is the profit? The profit, the bottom line is the return on investment, the ROI. Return on investment, the ROI. It's what you return on your investment, and then you take the expenses and subtract that from the ROI, and whatever is left is the bottom line. That's your profit. Now, for us who have companies, it's important that we have a bottom line. Did you know that? If we don't have a bottom line, if we don't have a profit, we will cease to exist. It was interesting years ago when I first went to Romania, and I had one of the very first seminars. We were sharing seminars, and as he introduced us, it so happened that there were about three of us speakers, all ministers, and we all had our own businesses and so forth, and we had a time of questions and answers, and someone asked the question. They said, "Is it right for a Christian to make a profit?" And I said, "What would you do if you went to Turkey from Suceava and you bought bananas and you brought them back here to sell in Suceava? Would you mark them up or would you sell them at the same price that you gave for them?" Well, I'll tell you, there wouldn't be very many trips to Turkey. The bottom line, it's important. After all the work is done, what do you have? Profit is the bottom line. Now, what is the bottom line for Christians? Let me ask that question. What is the bottom line? Do you have a bottom line in your Christian life? I think most of us would agree that the bottom line is that when it's all said and done, we all want to go to glory, go to heaven, right? Anybody here not want to go there? My, it's not a trick question. Okay. The bottom line that most of us want when it's all said and done is to go to heaven. Now, how do we get the bottom line for a Christian? How do we get the bottom line? If a business doesn't meet the bottom line, they go bankrupt. There's no reward. You know what I think? I think the bottom line is purely reward. The bottom line is purely reward. Let me ask you as an individual, if we focus on the bottom line only, what do? There's many people who focus on the bottom line, and they do all kinds of things in order to get to heaven. Let me assure you this morning that you cannot earn your way into heaven. It is purely a reward, an undeserved reward at that. But we all want it. Now, let me ask you from a nonprofit perspective or an organization this morning, if what is your organization's bottom line? Do you have a bottom line? What would cause your organization to cease to exist? Because you need to generate a bottom line. It's reward, but it needs to be there. I believe that if we don't have a bottom line, we need to change either our purpose or our vision or our mission. Because mission is all about serving. And I suppose that it's reasonable to assume that the end goal for every organization here is to bring glory to God. Is it not done the same way that a business produces a bottom line? By serving. You know, I've not found a better way to reap a bottom line in the corporate America than to serve. It's all about serving. That's the key. If you forget everything else that I've said this morning, then don't forget this. The bottom line, to produce the bottom line, to do the mission, it's all about the service you give. And if we cease to serve and we become the served, our bottom line will cease to exist. We need to remember that we are serving. How do we serve? How is this done as in missions? Remember the story that Jesus, the parable that Jesus said in Matthew 13. He talked about the story of the sower who went out and he sowed, and some fell on the wayside, some in stony soil, some in thorny soil, and some in good soil. So they wanted profit? So what is your job? You know, serving your customer with health care, serving your customer with food, serving your customer with the physical part of the needs could be preparing the soil. It could be rooting up the thorns. It could be lifting out the stones. It could be deepening the soil so when the seed is dropped into the soil that it can reap either 30 or 60 or 100-fold. Let me suggest that those are the ways that we can serve to reap a bottom line. Not, we don't always serve right. You see, we are to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said like this, but Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, he said, but Jesus called them and said, this happened after the mother of the three sons, of James and John, rather, came to her and asked to be on the right and on the left of Jesus. Jesus called them and said, know ye not that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great, and they that are great exercise authority upon them? But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom. He came as a servant. And I would propose that Jesus did this very thing. He ministered to the tangible and the physical and the intellectual and the emotional needs of the people in order to meet the spiritual needs of those that he was in contact with. We, then, are called to be a reflection of Jesus. A reflection of him. I was, during our time in Romania one time, I was not a very good reflection of Jesus. I remember I was asked to go there and to be administrator of a children's home and also be a director of a teaching ministry program. But sometimes I was pulled out of that realm, and one day I was pouring concrete, which I'm not a concrete guy. Especially in Romania, where they bring the truck and they just dump it all on the ground and then they let you get it to the right place. And that wasn't going to work with me. And I said, you're going to put some here, and then you're going to put some here, and you're going to put some here. And you can get back in the truck and just be a little bit of a service to us. And the guy was not didn't appreciate my tactic, my way of doing this, and so he wouldn't cooperate very well. And when it was time to sign the bill at the end for him to go back to the plant, I said, no, I'm not going to sign it. And he started to go to one of my friends who was helping me pour the concrete, and I said, no, don't sign that. Don't sign that. He didn't cooperate with me and with us. And so he started to get in the truck, and he started to leave, and he left. And my dear brother Aurel came over and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Brother Bill, do you think if that person has a need in his life and would want to find Jesus, that he would come back to you for help?" Do you know what? He couldn't have hurt me worse had he kicked me in the stomach with his foot. He was right. I was not being a reflection of Jesus Christ. But we are a reflection. We are to be a reflection of Jesus Christ as we serve. Now, as we serve, we need to know that we're producing the bottom line. And sometimes we need to change. Do you like change? Sometimes we need to change. Did you know that we cannot get better without changing? Did you know Einstein, I believe it was, who said that doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome or a different result is the definition of insanity? I conclude that the bottom line is very important, but we cannot become obsessed with the bottom line. We must become obsessed with serving the King. You see, we get into the kingdom by coming to Him and recognizing our need of a Savior. And we come into the kingdom, and the thing that we do is we worship the King and we serve the King and we honor the King because we are in the kingdom. And our service to Him is not in order for us to achieve a bottom line. Our service to Him is because we are in love with the King. And when we're in love with the King, and we are bringing service to humanity, whether it meets the physical, the intellectual, the emotional, or the spiritual need, we're serving. We're serving. Let me conclude. As born-again believers and organizations and as businesses represented here and missions, let's never forget what our purpose is, why our organization exists, what do we want to become, what is our mission, what do we accomplish, how do we accomplish our vision. Let's not forget, we enter the kingdom for one reason, and that reason is to bring glory to Jesus. How is it done? By serving. By serving. Jesus said like this in Matthew chapter 25, 34. "Then shall the King say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." Yeah, he's talking about the bottom line. He's talking about the profit. It's prepared. And they answered him, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come unto you?" And the King shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, ye have done it. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." If you're part of the kingdom, fulfill that purpose, that vision, that mission, and the prophets are coming. God bless.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.